NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here's Lou Wood. In a move to stave off bankruptcy and bolster the British economy, Prime Minister Harold Wilson tonight announced the British pound would be devalued 14.3%. That amounts to a drop equivalent in U.S. value from $2.80 to $2.40. The momentous decision was accompanied by drastic new credit restrictions and a possible billion-dollar loan application to the International Monetary Fund. All the emergency steps were designed to cut down the difference between what Britain earns and what she spends abroad. Most of the world's big banking nations, led by the United States, announced they would not follow suit. To devaluate also would annul the effects of London's move. Romney campaign workers in New Hampshire are already preparing to launch a blitz in that state on Monday following the announcement today by the Michigan governor that he will run for the GOP presidential nomination. Romney's expected entrance into the race came at a news conference in Detroit, where he said he would fight to win and he would work for a just peace in Vietnam. Reaction to Romney's announcement came from several Republicans who have been mentioned as possible GOP nominees. Senator Charles Percy of Illinois called Romney a great credit to the free enterprise system. New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller reaffirmed his full support for Romney. Former Vice President Richard Nixon called Romney a formidable candidate. And California Governor Reagan said it was too early to support Romney or anyone else. The National Convention of Young Democrats, meeting in Hollywood, Florida, tonight named a staunch supporter of President Johnson as president of the organization. Spencer Oliver was elected president shortly after Vice President Humphrey spoke to the new generation Democrats in defense of President Johnson's Vietnam policy. The convention had earlier shouted through a resolution calling for the president to consider negotiations with the Viet Cong. U.S. Air cavalrymen and South Vietnamese troops hammered at Hanoi regulars on two ridges in the Dak Tho sector today, pursuing a drive that American commanders believe has upset plans for a major communist offensive in the central highlands of Vietnam. And American jets apparently hit again at North Vietnam's Haiphong supply lines, although there was no official confirmation from the U.S. command. Radio Hanoi said one strike hit Haiphong, and they claimed they shot down eight planes. Two members of an NBC News film crew were injured in the fighting near Dak Tho today as they filmed a North Vietnamese rocket attack on American troops. Cameraman Gary Moore and soundman Marvin White were taken to the Dak Tho evacuation hospital for observation. They suffered shock and concussion. Moore and White were with units of the 173rd Airborne as the soldiers chased fleeing North Vietnamese troops west of Dak Tho. More in a moment.
It's only a motorcycle, but it could be a blessing. Because even though you're rested, driving can make you drowsy. How do you fight back? You don't wait for a motorcycle to roar by. You take a couple of no-dos. No-dos helps you keep alert when driving gets you down. No-dos is non-habit forming. No-dos tablets. The one to take when you have to stay alert.
Greece alerted its armed forces tonight after a Cypriot government announcement claimed Turkish jets buzzed Greek villages on the Mediterranean island. Turkey denied the incident, but has had its forces alerted since yesterday after fighting broke out between Greek and Turkish Cypriots Wednesday. The U.S. State Department today advised U.S. citizens not to travel to Cyprus during the present tense situation. In sports, O.J. Simpson raced 64 yards to a fourth period touchdown, and Ricky Aldridge converted to give Southern California a 21-20 victory over UCLA today. The Trojans now become conference champion and Rose Bowl participants with the win. The major news story again, Britain tonight devaluated the pound sterling, dropping its value from $2.80 to $2.40. Lou Wood, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the Hour when no-dos keep alert tablets bring you NBC Monitor News.
Don't move, just leave your dial, Monitor. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while, Monitor. Here's Monitor.
Art Linkletter tells all on Monitor. Well, maybe not quite all, but he tells a lot about his unusual beginning days in show business. That's later this half hour. I'm your host, Ted Steele, ready to welcome Spanky and our gang with Lazy Day.
Sky, sun,
Monitor Sports with Kyle Roach, who interviews football star Len Dawson in 1 minute, brought to you by Antron Nylon, the DuPont carpet fiber that keeps its new look longer, and Firth Carpet Company.
This is Kyle Roach for Monitor Sports. You know, keeping an office carpet clean is like taking care of a football field when the traffic is heavy. Even if you've got a tough carpet, soiling alone can quickly take away the new look. But not with the new Haddonfield carpet by Firth Carpet Company. Haddonfield is made of Antron nylon, the carpet fiber that keeps its new look longer. Antron hides soil. DuPont chemically modified Antron to minimize soil reflection. And that means no matter how much traffic Haddonfield gets, it's going to need a lot less maintenance to keep it looking new. That's why it's a favorite in stores, restaurants, schools, and hotels. To top it all off, this rugged, elegant-looking Haddonfield carpet is available for your home, too. So give indoor groundskeepers a break. Specify Haddonfield by Firth. And remember, Antron Nylon by DuPont. Durable, soil-hiding Antron, the carpet fiber that keeps its new look longer. My guest today, quarterback Len Dawson of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be trying tomorrow to keep his team in the race for the AFL's Western title. It'll be the Chiefs against the San Diego Chargers, the game to be played at Kansas City. And a loss by Kansas City would virtually eliminate them from any chance for the title. And, Len, I assume we've accurately described your situation down there, that you must beat San Diego tomorrow.
Kyle, I think you hit it right on the head. We must win, and not only this particular ball game, but the remaining five ball games to even have a shot at the championship or even a possible tie. We're currently two games behind both San Diego and Oakland. And we have to win. Our backs are to the wall, and we have no out. You're right. If we lose, it looks like we're out of it.
Has the club slipped a little, or is it just the fact that Oakland and San Diego are that much improved?
I think a combination of a couple of things, Kyle. First of all, Oakland and San Diego are improved football teams. San Diego will be playing tomorrow. They're a very explosive team. They have a great amount of speed. They can hit you from several directions with Lance Allworth and also Garrison and Frazier as receivers. Hale is having a great year, and their little back, Dickie Post, is capable of going all the way. And I think that those two ball clubs are improved. As far as our ball club is concerned, everybody's shooting for us, and it looks like that they're playing their best ball game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and we haven't been playing up to the abilities that we're capable of. And I think the last 3 weeks we've come around and we're playing the type of football that we're capable of, and I just surely hope that we can continue along that line.
Well, you know, aside from your game with San Diego tomorrow, then the next Sunday you have to meet Oakland in two critical games back-to-back. Do you consider that perhaps an unfortunate break in the scheduling, or does it really matter, Len?
Well, Kyle, as you know, we didn't make the schedules. I think the ball players made it. We wouldn't schedule them a couple of days after a ball game. It came at a very bad time, I think, because we have to win both of them. The pressure is on us. They have a little cushion, both San Diego and Oakland, and they'll be playing each other again. But we have to win both of them, and we're fighting two outstanding football teams, and we'll be playing San Diego, then Oakland coming in on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, and they're a very strong, especially defensive ball club. So I think our offense is going to really be tested in the next couple of games. We have to keep the ball away from San Diego because they're so explosive, and we have to move the ball against Oakland, which very few teams have been able to do.
Len, as the leading passer in the league, are the defenses in the AFL becoming more sophisticated, more difficult to solve, say, compared with a couple of years ago?
They're much better, Kyle. I think they're getting greater speed on the corners and in the entire secondary. And the linebackers are playing a much better job and doing a much better job. They're getting these boys coming out of college seem to be bigger and faster, and they're capable of covering the backs coming out of the backfield. And I think it's much better overall. But as you know, as a receiver, if you have the time to throw, I think you can throw against anybody.
Well, I must say, you and Baltimore's Johnny Unitas are the only two passers in all of pro football to have completed more than 60% of your passes, and at the moment you hold a slight lead over Unitas. Figuring out the defenses doesn't appear to be one of your weak suits at this point.
Well, Johnny Unitas and Baltimore happen to be in first place. We're in third. That's what really counts.
Well, Len, we've enjoyed the visit. Thanks for talking with us. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Len Dawson, quarterback for the defending American Football League champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, who meet the San Diego Chargers in Kansas City tomorrow. Let's talk carpets again. Office carpets. Remember when the most popular color for a heavy traffic carpet was dirt gray, just to hide the soil? Well, a new carpet called Haddonfield by Firth Carpet Company has changed all that. Haddonfield is made of Antron nylon, a DuPont carpet fiber. It's a favorite in stores, restaurants, schools, and you can even get it for your home. Antron keeps its new look longer, and it hides dirt. So does the Haddonfield carpet, no matter what color. This is Kyle Rote for Monitor Sports. Kyle Rote has been brought to you by Antron Nylon from DuPont and Firth Carpet Company. You're on the Monitor Beacon. At 18 minutes past the hour on Monitor, here's a new one by Eddie Arnold. Here Comes Heaven.
To meet a man from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Of course, you already know him. He's a very familiar voice on radio and a well-known face on television. Art Linkletter. Monitor reporter Jack Eigen interviewed him in Chicago.
How did you and radio meet?
I was studying to be an English professor at San Diego State College. I wanted to teach college English, and I was working my way through college, doing everything. It was a depression, as you remember, and I was working my way through, among other things. This will give you a little kick. I was posing for art classes.
I can understand that.
Then I was a shill at the Agua Caliente Gold Room in the days when there was no Las Vegas, and everybody went across the border from Hollywood. And there was a little girl dancing while I was working there by the name of Rita Cancino. And, of course, Rita Hayworth. She was a dancer. And across the border came people like Clara Bow and Jean Harlow and Clark Gable and others. And my job was to pretend that I was a rich college boy. And I would go in the gold room where all these big gamblers were, and and I would bet. And I would watch for collusion between the dealers and crooks. And I would get my money from the casino, and I would play with it. And when it was gone, I'd get more, and I got paid money for that. And the reason that I had that job was that I wrote a musical comedy for the college, and I wrote the words in the book, and a boy wrote the music by the name of John Crofton. And John Crofton's brother was Jim Crofton, and he was the president of Agua Caliente. And so I got the job there because I wrote the musical comedy. I came to the attention of the local radio station man in San Diego because I wrote the musical comedy. He called me up while I was making Waldorf salads in the school cafeteria at the college one noon, and over the clatter of the dishwashers, I heard this voice say, "I'm the manager of KGB. How would you like to be a radio announcer?" I said, "Yes, sir." And I went down and got the job, And by the time I got out of college in 1934, I was already making $125 a month. And my first job as an English instructor, assistant English instructor, was $120 a month. And that's $5 less. I couldn't take a backward step. So by the virtue of those $5 a month, I made the decision to remain a radio announcer.
Art, you are credited with being the first, I guess, in the quiz-type shows. Were you actually the originator of that type show?
No, I wasn't. What actually happened was I was a young announcer in San Diego with no particular ability in show business as a performer. I had never been a monologist, a singer, an actor, a dancer, and I was somehow dissatisfied with the idea of remaining an announcer. And I thought, what in the world can I do? And I heard of two fellows in Texas by the name of Butterworth and Johnson. And they started a show called Vox Pop. And it was the first show of its kind where you took a microphone, went down into the street and grabbed people who went by and asked them questions. Vox Pop, the voice of the people. And when I heard that, I said, that I can do. I grabbed a microphone, I went down in the street, and I've never stopped since. You know, streets, maternity wards, jails, skyscrapers, dirigibles, submarines, I've done it all. I've had fights on the street with drunks. I have been arrested by cops. I have been run out of places. I have introduced presidents coming down gangplanks, you name it, and I have done it, which is probably the reason why nothing can ever happen that'll bother me again. And it all started with the knowledge that now, through the magic of a microphone, there was something new in show business that had never been there before in the thousands of years of show business, and that is the art of conversation projected beyond the proscenium arch to thousands and eventually millions of people. Then, after doing Man on the Street shows for a long time, John Goodell and I originated a show called People Are Funny, and it ran on NBC for 21 years.
And I think it could run another 21 years.
And then, of course, we started House Party, and that's been running for 24 years, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And I'm beginning to interview the children of the children that I interviewed when the show started. The whole circle has come around. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful life. This is the only business, real broadcasting.
Art Linkletter, a man who's had quite a career in the business he feels is the only business. Here comes Sue Rainey now with Parade.
There is a circus parade, and there's an Easter parade, and there's a Christmas parade, and Pasadena parade, and there's a baby parade, and there's a baby parade. By now the point has been made, we love to watch a parade. You only have to say great, and you're sure of a smile, cause it's a chance to get away from yourself for a while. And when the sunlight hits the silver and gold drum, the crier they come, we'll save you from the doldrum. You see the tumblers also having their ups and their downs. A shout goes up because somebody has spotted the sound. No better antidote to chase the frowns. And when they do, when they are, can't tell a kid from his paw. There's the Kiwanis Parade, and there's the Lions Parade. July the 4th, a parade, Thanksgiving Day, a parade, and there's St. Patrick's Parade, Columbus Day, a parade. By now the point has been made, we love to watch a parade. For several miles or more, the girls on the floats are revealed. Of course, the gorgeous boats away, your attention was glued. A nice departure from the hum of existence, a colorful show for which we go the distance. And in the long procession, there are gigantic balloons. So let's, in case you hadn't looked at the Sunday cartoons, for tourist appetites and for tycoons, and you immediately can hit the citizen ring. A military parade, and Labor Day a parade, and the policeman parade in everybody's parade. And when a hacker's been played, you'll see a college parade. By now the point has been made, we love to watch a parade. And there's a veteran's parade, and there's a Navy parade, inauguration parade, and Mardi Gras parade. Oh, how I love
those of you thinking of sending a wedding present to Linda Bird Johnson, this bit of information. The bride-to-be has already received more than 300 pot holders. And nobody has that many pots. Anyhow, I think if I were going to send a gift, I'd send something both the bride and groom could use. Like a dish towel. Alpert and the Tijuana Brass in Town Without Pity. In central Oklahoma, you hear us on KOCY, quality radio in Oklahoma City. Wherever you hear us, stay tuned. There's more to come. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
In just 40 minutes, early singing star Gene Austin on the NBC Radio Network.
Harry Belafonte sings a strange song on Monitor.
It's a strange song about a boy who went wrong, who tried to make it up inside his heart and start again to make amends for living his strange life. Make a change line until one day he found himself alone with only him and oh how deep his future seemed on that day. He tries to find a better way to be a man, and as he tries he casts away his foolish pride, and I understand. Thank you.
Weatherwise talks about funny forecasts and his old farmer's almanac on Monitor less than 3 minutes from now. Of course, Abe Weatherwise isn't his real name. But anyone who goes around predicting what the weather will be a year from now had better not use his real name. My real name is Ted Steele, and next on the schedule, the Chattanooga Choo Choo, right on time.
Track 29. We gotta get there on time. We can afford to board the Chattanooga Choo Choo. We got a fare and just a little to spare. You need the pencil, station.
That's known as Harper's Bazaar. The man that's known as Abe Weatherwise is really Rob Sagendorf. He's the president of the Dublin, New Hampshire publishing house responsible for the old Farmer's Almanac. The almanac was first printed in 1792, and there's been many a storm over the country since then. According to the 1968 edition, there's going to be a, quote, memorable snowstorm from the Great Plains to New England during the last week of next January. Reporter Don Tibbetts checked up on the story from its source.
Monitor is here in Dublin, New Hampshire, to confront you, Abe Weatherwise. What are the chances of that rough weather really taking place?
Well, the chances, Don, are pretty good. We're saying for this coming year, it'll be rough for the last part of the month.
Well, in reality, Abe Weatherwise is Rob Sagendorf. He's the lanky president of the New Hampshire firm that is publishing its 176th annual edition of the widely read Old Farmer's Almanac. And, Rob, how do you describe the almanac yourself?
Well, by definition, an almanac is a timetable of the heavens. This is a book which tells you when the planets rise and set, when the moon rises and set, when the sun rises and set, and when the high tides are and the low tides are and all that. And, of course, as a corollary to all this astronomical information, We add the weather forecast.
Weather forecasters, in the main, have difficulty predicting accurately what the weather is going to be tomorrow. How can you forecast the weather so far in advance?
Well, Don, the weather forecasters, particularly the United States Weather Bureau men, are operating at a 24-hour level pretty well, I would say. They're pretty good. At 48 hours, they're not as good, and at a week ahead, they're not as good. But if they could proceed as we do, namely as an artist rather than as a scientist, they could probably do just as well as we do. But the fact of the matter are that we are working in very long-range trends and cycles. And there are a number of these different kinds of cycles, like the course of the Gulf Stream, ocean temperatures, the positions of the highs, and the Brückner cycle, and sunspots, and outer space, inner space, and all kinds of different things which go into our, what I call, trend formula. Now, if we can hit a week, like we're trying to say here, the last week in January, say it's rough, this means that our formula indicates that this week is going to be bad. Now, this is what we say from looking at what facts we have. Now, sometimes it comes in, sometimes it doesn't. More often it comes in than it doesn't. So that this is how accurate we are, like 70-75%.
Would you say that your forecast could be called timid or bold?
I never thought of them that way. I've always thought they were funny. But you can't regard this in any other way. If you lose your sense of humor about long-range forecasts, you want to look out for the men with the little white coats. Sometimes you can go with a trend better than you can with a day-to-day forecast. I remember one time coming back from Spain on the USS Constitution. I told the captain of the ship there was going to be a terrific storm before we got into New York. He didn't believe me. He wired Washington. They said no storm. The fact of the matter was there always has been a storm in the last week of November, a northeast storm. And this one hadn't shown up in this particular year, but it did show up before we got into New York. This is what I mean by trends.
I see. How do your neighbors here in Dublin, New Hampshire, rate you as a forecaster?
Well, I think if you made an honest poll of this, they would think that I was a nut.
But this evidently is not the case across the nation, because the old Farmer's Almanac is relied upon by many, many people, isn't it?
Seemingly so. This is not just me or my almanac. This is because the tradition of America, you know, we've been making these weather forecasts, and other farmers' almanacs have, since 1793, for every single year. So this is, you know, this is traditional. This is born in you to believe in almanac. And I think there are more people believe in the almanac than do in the Weather Bureau.
Our thanks to you, Rob Sagendorf, Abe Weatherwise, and good forecasting with the old Farmer's Almanac for many, many years to come. This is Don Tibbetts in Dublin, New Hampshire, getting set for the winter snow and returning you to Monitor Radio Central.
Unfortunately, one of the items that used to appear in the old Farmer's Almanac has been discontinued. It was Roads and Distances from Tavern to Tavern. Well, remember this bit of philosophy published therein. It is only 100 days from New Year's Day to the Bluebird. And Vicky Carr sings, "It Must Be Him."
I tell myself, what's done is done. I tell myself, don't be a fool. Play the field, have a lot of fun. It's easy when you play it cool. Tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings and I jump. And as I grab the phone, I pray.
Bye.
heart on the shelf again. He'll never hurt me anymore. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'll find somebody else someday. That's when the phone rings. And once again, I start to pray.
At 14 minutes before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor Music, Sketch Henderson plays it, Strangers. In one moment, Wilt the Stilt. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, where the new 68 models are rolling again.
Lincoln Mercury's rolling again. And the roar of a new Cougar echoes across the land. Mercury Cougar, the big cat, car of the year. Now for 1968, Cougar looks for new worlds to conquer. Fully equipped with nothing less than a big 302 cubic inch V8, standard. Concealed headlamps, standard. Sequential turn signals, standard. Bucket seats and stick shift, full width rear seat, all standard. And a cat smooth luxury ride. There's a sporty new Cougar GTE and a luxury Cougar XR7 with the look and feel of a fine European road car. Mercury Cougar, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, the best equipped luxury sports car in America. Lincoln Mercury's rolling again, and your Mercury dealer's got new 68 Cougars right now. Mercury's and Montego's, too. See your Mercury dealer. He's ready to talk business now.
Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia 76ers, once the firebrand of pro basketball, has mellowed. In one game this season, for example, he failed to take a shot from the field. His attitude toward the National Basketball Association seems to have changed, too. Reporter Jules Rind has the story in Philadelphia.
Wilt, a number of years ago, you called the National Basketball Association a Bush League. Do you still think of it that way, or have you changed your mind? And if so, what has made you change your mind?
I never called it a Bush League, sir. That was a title that was put on the particular article in which I was violent in writing. You know, I did bring out a few Bush things that happened in our league and have been happening and still are happening. This happens in quite a few organizations or professional leagues, so to speak. And these things you try to work on, and all I ever did was try to give constructive criticism. Now, I feel as though that this league has come a long, long way. We still have... As far as I'm concerned, some more way to go. I believe we play too many games, and therefore it doesn't give the people that watch the games a chance to see the ball players at their full 100% capability because they're just too tired sometimes. These are the type of things that I believe we have to still work on in the National Basketball Association. But as I said before, we've come a long way, and we're getting there.
Now, on the expansion, this year you've added two teams. You added one last year. Now you have 12 teams. Do you think that the expansion of the National Basketball League is going to hurt the quality of play that you see?
Well, actually, I don't think so, because the way we're expanding now, two teams per year, it will be even more even out than it was last year. I think that there are cities and there are ball players to fill these expanded teams. And I believe that, you know, we should even go to 20 teams in the near future. I think we will have about 20 teams in the league. And I think it'll be a great help because, therefore, you have teams all over the country. It'll make traveling a lot easier, and it'll make the whole thing a much better system.
Do you think in the addition of the extra teams that you might consider merging with the American Basketball Association?
Well, I don't think that the NBA is thinking about merging with the American Basketball Association at all, but the American Basketball Association has anything to want for a merger right now.
You didn't have much in a way of preseason practice, and yet you looked very good. How do you manage to keep in such excellent shape?
Well, actually, I think for a professional athlete, it's easier to stay in shape all year round than to allow yourself to slip for 2 or 3 months during the summer period and then have to work yourself back in shape in preseason training. So, therefore, I try to keep myself in shape all year round. This year, I dieted quite a bit, which helped me, and I just did a lot of running.
Which teams do you think are going to give you the most trouble, and which players are going to give you personally the most trouble?
Well, as far as teams are concerned, I believe the New York Knicks and San Francisco and Boston, these should be the teams. Right now, St. Louis is playing very, very good ball, but San Francisco, I believe, and Boston should be the two toughest teams for us.
And you say San Francisco and without Rick Barry?
Yes, well, that's because they have a very young and very strong team and a very apt coach. Of course, they will miss Barry, but I still believe they have a great team.
Thanks a lot, Wilt, and good luck. This is Jules Rind for Monitor Sports.
Now, a word about Autolite.
You're listening to a $250,000 experimental car, hand-built by Ford. It's got a $50,000 body, a $10,000 control panel, and a $4 oil filter. An Autolite filter, the same kind you buy. How come a $4 Autolite filter in a $250,000 car? Because there is no better filter, not at any price. Get an Autolite oil filter for your car, whatever kind you drive.
The complete sports news and the most interesting sports figures every weekend on Monitor. Ed Ames sings, "When the Snow is on the Roses."
Now the golden sun can see us kiss. Every summer day we'll love like this. When the snow is on the roses. along the silvery shore. Vows we make will last forevermore. When the snow is on the roses, when the sun
A message here from the American Diabetes Association. Over 1.5 million people in this country are undetected diabetics. The most dangerous thing about diabetes is the fact that you may have it and not know it. Diabetes can be controlled, but to control it, you must know about it. This is National Diabetes Week. Please call your doctor, Diabetes Association, or Medical Society about a diabetes test for yourself and your family. Do it this week. Diabetes Week. James Last with Happy Music. We'll be back with more music, interviews, sports, and features after all the latest from NBC News. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Monitor.